Sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Your favorite ghouls, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, crack open the can and fill to the top. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, this is your podcast and it's called Haunts and Hearts.
No matter where in the world you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while sipping on the greatest craft beer from across the country. Thanks to our sponsor, Tavor. Follow us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasta here with you, and I'm sipping on a very good beer that I'm going to get to in just a couple of minutes. But find me at Jay Quasto on the socials. Moving on to the two stars of the show, a veteran paranormal investigator. She told us some of her favorite stories from being a team member on Ghost Hunters just last week on the show. And I believe she's got some hops in her hand. Find her at Ashley Trobe on the socials because she's the enchanting Ashley Trobe.
Wow. Enchanting. I like that one. I'll take it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say magnificent, but I thought enchanting was a good way to go.
I like both.
Yeah. I'll say it again. The enchanting and magnificent Ashley.
Yeah. Combined.
You know how to make a girl happy. Mm-hmm.
And she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, a lifelong connection to the paranormal. And who knows what beer she may have in her hand. She is not only a triple threat, she is outstanding. She is multi-talented and she is magnificent. Did I say that for Ashley? I don't think I did. No, she's Anastasia Washington.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You like me. You really like me. I do have beer in my hand.
Good. I'm sweating with these intros. Let's get to the beer. What are we drinking?
I'm sipping on gin and juice.
You are.
Laid back. No, I'm not.
What do you got?
I have a McLeod Ale, Backwards in a Taxi Rice Pilsner.
What?
That's what it's called. Backwards in a Taxi.
I'm more interested in the title and finding out where they got that from than drinking a Pilsner per se, but how is the taste?
It's actually, it's very refreshing. I feel like in the heat that we're currently experiencing in Los Angeles, a Pilsner is a nice little refreshing beverage to have. It's 5.4% alcohol by volume, so not too bad. Just a little sippage. I would give it a, you know, it's like a 4.5. It's pretty good.
Out of five?
Whoa, yeah. Man. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, Rice Pilsner getting a 4 out of 5. Ash, how about you?
Like I say, that heat's killing me. It got up to 109 here in the last few days. So it's been a little rough. I went very simple. I went with the Modern Times Orderville, drinking it out of my Hops and Haunts glass that you can't see. Super, super basic. It's a hazy IPA. It's really good. It's one of my go-tos after work. It is a 7.2%. It's part of the rotating series. They have seasonal rotating and like one other seasonal specialty. So this is their current of the seasonals and it is very delicious. I've never had it and been disappointed. So
it's interesting. Modern Times, I don't picture them as an IPA brewery. Like for some reason, Modern Times, I see their cans and I just think lager and I'm probably way off on that. They must have everything.
They have a little bit of everything. They have they have sours, they have IPAs, they have a stout, they have just all over across the board. And they do amazing collaborations. They just did that one that I told you guys, the Gargoyles and Wizards. That was a Stone and Modern Times collaboration. So they're really out there and they love coming up with really fun, creative new beers. You can get them anywhere. Like they're one of those you can get at any grocery store. But they still have a very good craft element to them. And so I love that is I can go to any gas station and still find Modern Times somewhere and be fine.
Okay. Where is Modern Times out of?
They're in San Diego, I think. Wait, let me double check. Yes, they're in San Diego, California.
And there is a tap room in, I believe, downtown LA because I've been, and it was, it's
ooh, really?
quite trendy. I loved it. It was nice.
Okay. Isn't Stone also San Diego?
Stone is also San Diego.
God, and then I love Belching Beaver. San Diego really brings the thunder with their beers. I mean, there's a lot of great breweries in San Diego.
Yep, I agree. In fact, every time that you and I go to San Diego, we go get beer somewhere. So it's same thing with Anastasia.
We're drinking alcohol at Comic-Con.
Yeah, well.
What else do you do at Comic-Con?
I don't know.
That's true. In fact, I was at HopCon at Comic-Con in San Diego. Ran into Anastasia super unexpectedly. Just had no idea she also got tickets. And then, like, the next day, Quasto, I ran into you. So it was just really well done.
Well, HopCon is one of my favorite events at Comic-Con. So I'm usually there. I love it. And I love to see all the weird beers that celebrities, because they usually have, like, celebrities make a small batch. And they make some really weird ones. And some really good ones. Okay. But some really weird ones, too.
Well, let's throw it out to the universe right now for Comic-Con 2021 actually happening with human beings. Somehow, let's go. Throwing it out there.
Boom. Yeah. And HopCon, we're going to come for you. We're coming for you. We're going to cover it. We're going to do it.
I'm going to drink all your beer and walk away.
Drink all your beer.
Questa, what are you drinking?
I got me a tall boy. It's from the brewery. It's an 8.5% ABV. It's called Hold the Spoon Black Chocolate Cake. It's an Imperial Milk Stout with cacao nibs, cacao powder, salt, and vanilla.
It looks like I love the little ice creams on it. It's so cute. I kind of want it. I want it so much. And then I want to pour it over ice cream.
And this is their 2020 edition. It's best served at 55 degrees Fahrenheit, which I did not follow that. I apologize. But it gives a great description of the beer and how much care went into making it. And the can is just, it's kind of adorable. It's got little ice cream and little spoons all over the can. So, I mean, come
on.
So
cute. That's so cute.
That's
Quasto doesn't have a beer fridge. What's happening?
I have a fridge.
You know, that beer is also a rotating seasonal, and that's just one of the flavors, but that happens to be the flavor right now. As soon as I saw the can, I was like, oh, Anastasia's going to love this one.
I want it so bad.
I don't know if I have any more at work. I can check.
It's heavy. It's heavy. It is out of Placentia, California, so you could essentially go get yourself some.
Placentially go get yourself one?
Yeah. Placentially go get yourself some in Placentia.
It sounds very uncomfortable when you keep saying Placentia, though.
Placentia?
Yeah. Really know how to brew out there.
So before we move into the story, I got to say one of the ideas that Anastasia and I had a long time ago was doing a HopCon episode where we filmed while at HopCon. So I'm just going to throw it out there that maybe that can be something that we consider. You know, we'll talk to the people that run the show. I don't know. We'll probably have like a million followers by then.
A billion even.
We might have a billion by then. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll be drowning in beer like Bob and Doug McKenzie in Strange Brew by then.
Dude, if you've ever been to HopCon, you are drowning in beer. They give you so much free beer. Like you have, and they tell you, you have to sign a waiver saying you won't get drunk, but then they give you like all the beer that you want. And you're just like, okay.
And just like at every Comic-Con event, they have food. But then, like, they bring out the food and everyone just goes, phew! And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll wait for the next round.
I will say it might be difficult to get drunk at Comic-Con, though, because it's always hot and gross and you're always sweating and you're always dehydrated. So I can see being able to have a ton of beer at HopCon and still feeling tip-top. Anyways, follow Tavor. If you want our discount code, it's real simple. Download the Tavor app, start building your creative beer, use the code HAUNTS10, that's HAUNTS10, and you automatically get $10 added to your crate, which means you can use that $10 for whatever you want, and we want to hook you up. So use the code HAUNTS10 with your first order from Tavor. Thanks, Tavor.
Tavor, thank you.
And that's a little creepy cartoon voice, which is good. It plays in the Uncanny Valley.
It sure freaking did. Thanks, Anastasia.
Welcome.
Quasto, do you want to, before we actually get into the Uncanny Valley, do you want to explain kind of what this episode is going to be about? And
Yeah, this is kind of a combination brainstorming episode. We all decided that, hey, what are we going to talk about this week? One of you said Mandela Effect. Someone else said Uncanny Valley. And I said, cool, I don't know much about either, so let's do it. So it's going to be a combination of that. We have a really fun supernatural scoop story. It's a nice hodgepodge, if you will.
Yes, hodgepodge. Hodgepodge. I like that word.
Mm-hmm. I think both of them are really interesting because they really dive into the human brain quite a bit. And it's really, really, you know, and it gets into pareidolia and all of that stuff. So I just feel like these two things together are going to look really good. So and
that's a word so I'm excited to learn.
Pareidolia. A weird sandwich, you know, like a weird conspiracy sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Conspiracy sandwich. Are we the meat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to bite down on this conspiracy sandwich. But first, it's the Supernatural Scoop. So I found this article here. It's not really an article, more of a story on anomalien.com. This is the title. I must have bought a haunted Cadillac. Yeah. It reads as follows. This is a story of the very strange goings-on with my 1992 Cadillac DeVille.
Ooh.
Yeah. A few months ago, I saved enough money to buy myself a car after going 2 years without one. It wasn't a lot of money, so I started my search on Craigslist. I would search a few times during the day trying to find something in my price range. After about a week and a half, I came across a 1992 Cadillac DeVille that looked as if it had just come off the production line. Now, being a Cadillac lover, I wanted to call this person and say, here's cash. I don't care what's wrong with it. It's beautiful. But my gut was telling me it had to be a scam. So we called the number, asked the man a few questions about the car. He told me the car was so cheap because it was an old funeral procession car. And the funeral home had bought new cars for the duty, had no more use for it. Intrigued by that, I set up a viewing and a test drive the next morning. The next morning rolled around and I met the little old man who I had talked to the day before. The car was as beautiful as the picture on Craigslist and it ran beautifully. I told the little old man I'd take it. We completed the paperwork. I was still in disbelief that I got such a good car for so cheap. A few weeks passed and the car was still running great, but I started to notice little odd things. For example, every morning when I got in my car, it smelled like a freshly smoked cigarette. Being a smoker myself, I kind of shrugged it off. But then weirder things started happening. One night, I was looking out my living room window and noticed the dome light in my car was on. Not wanting the battery to die, I went out and shut it off, thinking I maybe had left it on by mistake. I got back to my apartment, and when I passed my living room window, I noticed the dome light was on again. So I went back to turn it off. After doing so, I stood next to my car for a few minutes to make sure the light was really off. When I got back to my apartment and looked out my window, the dome light was on again. Irritated, I went downstairs for a third time and turned off the light. I waited 15 minutes and the light stayed off. Before I got back upstairs, I yelled, "Are you finally done for the night? It's getting old." And directly behind me, I heard a giggle.
Ew.
Yeah. Uh-uh. I spun around to see who was laughing at me. I started thinking someone was messing with me, but no one was around. A little creeped out, I went inside, looked out my window to see if the light was back on. It wasn't, so I went to bed. Odd things like that kept happening. One morning, I went down to my car only to find stuff from my glove compartment all over my car and the car smelling once again like a freshly smoked cigarette. Freaked me out. I went over all possibilities and ruled out a break-in, so I decided to pretend it didn't happen. Odd things kept happening over the next few weeks. One day, I was driving in silence when the radio started blasting a station I don't really listen to. It scared the shit out of me, so I turned the radio off, but it quickly came back on. I freaked out and pulled over to a Kmart parking lot. I turned the radio and the car off and wandered around Kmart for an hour or so. When I returned, my car again smelled like cigarettes. A few weeks passed, nothing happened, so I figured maybe the weird things were over. But nope, one night in my apartment, I was there with a friend when she asked who was sitting in my car. I jumped and ran to the window, and sure enough, there was a figure in the driver's seat.
Ooh.
Ran outside, checked. The doors were still locked. My friend and I checked the parking lot, trying to find an explanation. Came up with nothing. Fed up with everything, I called the funeral home the next day and spoke to the man who sold me the car. I asked him if anything horrible had happened with that car. He was a little taken aback by the question, so I told him the strange things that had been happening. The man said the car was usually driven by the funeral home's best and most senior employee who had recently passed away. He proceeded to tell me how well this woman had taken care of the car, almost as if it was her own. I then asked if this woman had been a smoker. He said, yes. I knew right then and there that she was behind the mysterious events. Since then, strange little things have happened with the car, like the hazards coming on when the car was unmanned, the smell of cigarette smoke, things being scattered throughout the vehicle, the radio coming on, the locks freaking out, and me feeling soft touches. So all in all, I think this lady is just not ready to accept the fact that she's passed on and that I own the car. What do you think?
I think the scariest part of that story is they found a Kmart to go to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that girl needs to let go. But like, how creepy is it to look out your window and see somebody in your car? That's creepy.
It makes you wonder too, what the woman's life was like. If she cared that much about the car, that's where... Now, here's the question though. Would this be a residual haunting or is this more an intelligent haunting? Is this just... We talked a couple of weeks ago about how energy builds up over time, kind of like the doppelganger theory. So is it just a residual haunting or is all that stuff happening in the car? Could that be intelligent? Like the locks going on and off? And I don't know, that maybe a bit of both. Very strange.
I mean, it feels to me intelligent based if it, you know, whatever, just because she seems to be reacting to him being in her space. But,
See, I would go the opposite direction. I would have assumed that it was a residual only because a giggle could have been anything. It might not. There's a chance it was in response. It could have been an indirect response, but everything else seems pretty residual. Turning on your lights, going through your belongings in the console.
That is true.
It felt very like doing things out of habit, listening to loud music, listening to that radio station that maybe that's what she played all the time. You know, unfortunately not being there, it's always hard to say, but I felt that it could be a little bit more residual in that sense. And the giggle, that's kind of where it gets weird though, because.
And the touching to me seems reactive.
Yeah. Well, cause like, I hope to God she wasn't touching some of the bodies that were in that car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it was the first time that there was a live body in the car with her. So that also might be part of where it becomes intelligent because. I don't know.
They said she was the most senior employee of the funeral home. So essentially she was around dead people all the time. And that's kind of what she knew in life. And she was in that car a lot. And they said she took care of the car as if it was her own. So it's possible that car may have been the most precious thing to her, which is sad, but it's possible.
Is there any name on the woman who this was happening to?
I did not say.
Christine. I'm just kidding.
Okay, but you want to hear something really weird? Facebook just notified me that my Facebook name changed to Ashley Pons right now, like right this second. I will send it to you guys.
Who the hell is Ashley Pons?
I don't know. It just updated right this second. I have no idea. It just happened right now.
Why would it tell you that your name is... Who's Ashley Pons?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking if we know her name.
Oh, P-O-N-D-S.
It just happened right this second.
What?
Yeah, it was like... You know, name change update or whatever.
Your old last name to me here.
I love that you don't say my last name. You just say my old last name.
I'm trying to protect your anonymity and whatnot. I don't know.
I wonder what happened.
There was a little kid that got murdered that's named Ashley Pond.
Oh.
I know.
That's disturbing. And so is that 1992 Cadillac DeVille. And that was the Supernatural Scoop. Let's get to our topics of the day. Should we hit up Mandela first or should we hit up Uncanny?
I want to hear Mandela first.
Okay. Let's hear Mandela then.
So Mandela effect, essentially the, I guess you could say the textbook definition is when a large group of people remember something differently than how it actually happened. Some people believe this is proof of an alternate universe, while many medical professionals use it as an illustration of how imperfect memory can be sometimes. So with that said, take it away, Anastasia.
Yes, there are examples of the Mandela effect. And the reason why it's called the Mandela effect is the most famous, or the one that really started this theory, was the fact that you either remember Mandela dying in prison or him getting out of prison and then dying years later. And depending on what you remember, you are either remembering a false memory, a group false memory, or you're from another dimension. But I have 20 examples that I thought I would ask you guys about to see if you're from another dimension or have group false memories, and just give you a few examples. So,
so these could be from Earth 2 or 5.
Correct. Yeah. all right. So the first one is Oscar Meyer. Mm-hmm. Is it Oscar Meyer or Mayer?
It makes more sense to say Meyer.
I thought it was Meyer, but I don't know.
It is Meyer.
There was a song.
Yes, there is a song. And if you remember it the other way, you are from an alternate dimension.
Rock on.
Rock on. All right, another one. Sex in the City or Sex and the City?
Well, I don't give a shit for either.
Why do I care about that?
I don't know.
Sex.
I always thought, we always say Sex in the City. So it sounds like it would be I-N, but that's kind of a weird title. Then again, so
it's Sex and.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's Sex and.
You're correct. It is Sex and the City.
Okay. Hated that show.
All right. Do you remember the We Are the Champions song from Queen? All right. So how do you remember how the song ends?
We are the champions of the world.
Ashley, do you also remember it ending with of the world?
You know, it's so funny because the Oscar Meyer song came to me. I don't know why Queen wouldn't come to me, but here we are. I don't think it did.
You're correct. There is no of the world, but I seem to remember very vividly of the world.
I could have swore I heard Freddie Mercury's words. Like,
but is that a lyric though? Because I feel like that is a lyric, isn't it? Or is that
not
a Mandela?
Not according to the it is a Mandela effect.
Because I was going to say, I recognize it as a lyric, but not the ending of the song. But that is really weird because I do the whole of the world.
Yeah.
This is one that makes people feel like 100% crazy. They're saying in this article that I'm reading from BuzzFeed that 100% people go, no, it ends with of the world. I am 100% sure of that. Wow. And I feel the same way, but apparently it does not.
I need to listen to that entire song start to finish because I could have swore I heard, I remember in my brain, I hear Freddie Mercury's words saying of the world, or maybe it's like one of those things like Sweet Caroline where everyone goes, oh, it's actually not part. Maybe it's like that. I don't know.
Maybe. So Monopoly, anybody Monopoly players?
Mm-hmm. Ruins families' lives.
It does. It ruins families' lives every day. Do you remember the Monopoly man? Did he have a monocle or not?
Of course.
No, Mr. Peanut has a monocle.
Son of a bitch.
So you're saying Monopoly doesn't, but Mr. Peanut does.
Yes.
You are correct, Ashley.
Yes!
Although I remember very vividly him having a monocle. Like, I don't understand.
His name is Rich Uncle Pennybags. He needs a monocle.
Right?
He doesn't need one.
I'm going to skip over Pokemon because it's very silly.
No, wait, no!
Okay, Pikachu.
Oh, who cares?
Does the tip of his tail have a black stripe or not?
Well, no, he doesn't. But the female has no tip to the tail, so...
So he has no black stripe, correct?
I don't think he does.
You are right. Many people, though, will fight you on that and say that there is a black tip.
Ha! Ashley,
am I doing good?
You're doing good. I mean, it's not really a quiz that you can fail. It just means that you're not either having false memories or from another dimension, so... Yeah.
Tell it to my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We will. Where? Give us the name.
Ashley is officially of this earth.
She is of this earth. Okay, so Berenstain Bears or Berenstain Bears? Berenstain or Berenstain?
I've done that. I know about this one. I still think it's Berenstain.
Oh boy, that's a tough call. I don't know what the true one is. I would say Berenstain is the correct spelling with the A and not the E.
And Ashley, you remember
Berenstain Bears.
As do I, Berenstain, but it is Berenstain.
Hmm.
This one actually messed me up a little bit. Curious George, did he have a tail or he didn't have a tail?
What?
Yeah. Does Curious George have a tail or not?
Yeah, for sure.
No, didn't he have that cute little stub?
That would count as a tail.
No.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay, so he does not have a tail.
Does he have a stub?
There's no mention of stub. There is just no tail.
I'm looking it up.
There's just no tail. He definitely did not swing from the trees with it, as I clearly remember him doing. There's also one about Chick-fil-A, which is, do you remember it with a C or a K for Chick? Who cares really about that? Yeah. Then there is the Luke, I am your father. Did Darth Vader say, Luke, I am your father? Or did he say, no, I am your father?
No, he just said, I am your father.
Yeah, I would have thought it was the Luke thing, but I think that was just a case of, you know, someone said it, Luke, I am your father, and then more people kept saying it. And then over the course of the last number of decades, it just picked up. That became a popular saying. Even in Tommy Boy, Chris Farley is saying it when he's playing with the fan. Luke.
I am your father. Yeah.
Well, I know it's wrong, but I certainly would have guessed Luke. Yeah, for sure.
So then there's also C-3PO apparently isn't all gold. That is one that he has a silver leg, but I think that's just a color thing. Like, it's not really a, I don't think I'm an alien because of that.
I'm a little distressed because I feel like this means you guys are the alternate versions of yourself and I'm not yet.
But what exactly does that mean?
I don't know, but like, do you guys know more than me now?
No, I know less. I'm clearly wrong on all this shit.
Or maybe I know differently. Oh, here's one that's really weird. Do you remember the 1996 film Kazam starring Shaq as a genie?
Oh man, this one messed me up too.
But do you also remember a 90s film starring Sinbad by the same name?
It was Kazam versus Shazam, wasn't it?
Right, but do you remember the Sinbad version?
There was Sinbad,
And Quasar?
No, because I'm a nerd, I know this. So I just don't want to say it until Ashley decides.
I'm not going to decide because I know where this one goes down and it just messes up my head. So I don't have a decision here because
Kazam was the rapping genie. That was Shaq. But no, Sinbad was never the star of his own genie film.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I seem to remember.
They recently had a DC Fandom segment with the Shazam cast and Sinbad jumped on. So I have a feeling he's going to be in it.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to do these in rapid little bit faster. Okay, so Hannibal Lecter never said hello, Clarice, in Silence of the Lamb, which messed me up.
Yeah.
A little bit. Also, the queen in Snow White never said mirror, mirror on the wall.
What does she say?
She says magic mirror on the wall. Who is the first one? Yep. Do you remember Jiffy or Jif peanut butter? Which one is it? Jif or Jiffy?
Jif. I thought Jiffy was the marshmallow stuff.
Okay, so I remember Jiffy peanut butter. It is not. It is not.
Isn't Jiffy the marshmallow fluff?
How do you spell Fruit Loops?
Froot.
Ashley?
I thought they did Froot as well.
Yeah, I thought they spelled it like fruit. And so I am from another dimension. And those are the ones that we have as examples, you guys. And I think I am from another dimension. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's like the person that's supposed to be in this dimension is in the other dimension. Should we trade? Do I want to trade? Is there better things? I need to know.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Mandela effect overall? Is it actually a thing? Like, who created the Mandela effect? And is it something that, to me, the whole alternate universe thing, because you got Fruit Loops wrong, that's a bit much.
The thing about it is, like, some of the stuff I'm like, I don't care. That just seems like your mind playing tricks on you, or because I'm dyslexic, that could just be dyslexia. But there's certain things on the list that I, like, violently, like, am like, have a reaction, like, no, that is not the way it is. That's not the way it happened. It's just like, it feels so weird because I feel like I have that memory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like going back in time to all the karaoke I've been to, and I'm thinking about Queen, and I'm like, no.
I always say, of the world. Always
sing of the world at the end of it.
Me too. And Queen is one of my favorite bands. I sing it all the time.
People having fun, riffing, adding a tagline, of the world.
Like, who cares in the grand scheme of things? But it's just like, when you have that memory, or that feeling of that memory, it's hard to like let it go with certain stuff, just certain stuff. Like Jif versus Jiffy, who cares? Like, whatever.
It's actually called Giphy.
It's Giphy. And Sex in the City or Sex and the City, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that.
But
so annoying. I'm a Samantha. No one cares. Anyways.
How do you truly feel?
There's certain shows that just annoy me. Sex and the City is one of them, and Saved by the Bell is another. We don't have enough time to get into it. It was the show.
Oh, is it Zach? It's Zach.
No, the show was garbage. It was so unrealistic. I just hate shows. If you're animated, be as unrealistic as you want. If you're a live action sitcom, give me a little bit of realism. There was nothing about Saved by the Bell that resonated at all with any human being who's ever gone to high school. It was such bullshit.
Oh, man. I'm so happy right now.
I don't get mad. I get mad at the dumbest things, by the way.
I almost flipped a table over James Bond, so don't worry about it. I get it. And by almost, I mean it was stapled to the floor, and that's the only reason it didn't flip.
Wow. Why was it stapled? Shouldn't it have been, like, screwed in?
Okay, screwed in. Whatever. Mandela effect.
Mandela! All right, let's get to Uncanny. Now, this is something I knew nothing about until you guys mentioned it, so this is very interesting.
Yeah, robots. That's all Ashley. I have no clue about any of this.
All right, Ash, tell us about robots.
The first time that I had heard of this was from a friend of mine that has recently passed away. His name was Grant Yamahara. And he had mentioned it one time because I told him I was really freaked out by these little robot dogs. And he's like, oh, that's the Uncanny Valley. And I kind of was like, I don't want to be a part of that or learn about it because I'm already super panicked. And I just kind of never thought about it again until a few weeks ago, my friend posted on Facebook the idea of the Uncanny Valley. And what she posted really messed me up. Now, the post that she did said, the fact that the Uncanny Valley exists is existentially terrifying. The Uncanny Valley is where we are scared by things that look almost human, but aren't. Other animals do not experience the Uncanny Valley effect and will accept things that look like them with little issue. But that means that at some point in our evolution, running away from things that looked almost human was advantageous enough to be imprinted into our genetics. What the fuck were we that scared of that it's in our genetics? Now, if that's not terrifying.
Whoa.
Okay, that's scary. Like when you first like presented this, I was like, okay, being scared of a robot. That aspect of it totally flips it on its head and makes me...
Yeah, I'm with Anastasia. I would look at it and say, okay, you're either creeped out by robots who look human or you're not. To me, unless they're running around like Optimus Prime and kicking ass, I can outrun them. So it's not that big of a deal. But that's a deeper way of really looking at it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that they talk about. So this whole thing – oh, sorry. My computer just freaked out.
And look, I'm not trying to play into things, but we tend to have – odd technical difficulties, specifically recording this paranormal show that none of us ever have otherwise. I don't know what the hell.
It's really
it's our energy. We're wizards. Like the Dresden Files? Okay.
Okay, sure.
So the thing about the Uncanny Valley, and it's so wild. So it is a hypothesis of all things. It was the person who came up with it was a roboticist from Japan. His name was, I don't want to butcher it.
Masahiro.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's Masahiro Mori or Mashiro Hori, Mori. Yeah. But, you know, he was a roboticist, genius man. And he has noticed that when he was presenting these robots that he had on stage, the more robot-like they looked, the bigger applause, the more positively people were reacting to it. And as they got more human, at a certain point... before it got fully human, people were repulsed and they were just uncomfortable with it. So I sent you guys photos and I sent you a video earlier, the Pixar short film from 1988, which by the way, Mandela effect, when the fuck were they doing videos in 1988? Like that's amazing.
Yeah.
But the animation was something else because the toy looked adorable. And then they bring this baby on screen and its movements and everything about it, you feel legitimately repulsed when you see it.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to see or feel when you see babies. But it's uncomfortable because they made it very human, but it wasn't human enough to be convincing. And some really good examples of that, and one that just happened recently, which cracks me up, was Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When they released the original trailer, they gave him tiny little eyes and they gave him human teeth. And everyone was just like, what is this? Absolutely not. And people were like, we're going to boycott this film. They had to go and reanimate the film to make him look like a cartoon because people were so panicked by the idea of him having human features.
Well, he shouldn't have human features. He's a hedgehog.
But that's that is what it comes down to. Should robots have those human features too? And so there's a lot of movies where that crosses into it. Like, I didn't have this problem, but when Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within, the movie came out, I thought it was like, okay, cool. It's an animated feature. Easy. But apparently a lot of the audience reacted negatively because they were too human and it was too much like a real thing for it to have been CGI. And that really upset people. And it made people feel like an actual repulsion response to it.
On that same note, I saw something about the original movie Shrek. They did a test run of Shrek, and the princess, is it Fiona? Princess? Princess Fiona was so realistic that little children were crying in the test screening. So they had to make her look more cartoony, which I find awesome.
That shit's hilarious.
The whole thing about Shrek, I can go on a whole tangent, but the whole thing about Shrek that it was all done in Chris Farley's voice and then they redid it completely with, I mean, I just want to see that version. Also, I want to see the version with the creepy princess. I'm down. I want to see that and that together. Yeah.
To hear Chris Farley as Shrek would be such a hidden gem. Oh, what a gift.
I want to hear it. But anyway, I think sometimes even in, you know, obviously they've tested this, Pixar has specifically tested this on some of their films, but I still think some of the characters in like Toy Story are really on that line where it's almost like,
But notice that they give them that animated look. They give them eyes larger than they should be. They give them chins smaller than they should be. And they do that very deliberately now. And not just with that, like if you look at Disney movies, Anna and Elsa, they have a very specific look that is not human per se, but you know that they're supposed to be humans.
I mean, I think there's a problem. Like, obviously, I understand the fact that we have a natural creep factor to it is an interesting thing. But, like, by making these morphed versions of humans, it's also causing a whole other problem. So I don't know where the line is, because if you morph these into, like, completely and totally, you know, you're presenting them as women and men and they're human-ish, you're giving these unattainable standards in cartoons and robotics. But at the same time, we're not as creeped out by it. So we're getting an eating disorder, but we're also not creeped out. So it's like, I don't know what I think. I have no clue what the answer is.
So here's a good one. We've all watched all of the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
You know, all of that. When they de-aged Iron Man, how did you feel when you saw Tony Stark de-aged for the first time?
Weirded out a little.
Yeah, right? Because it's no longer human. It's all digital now.
Yeah.
Digitalized his face. I think my personal favorite example, what is this? So the movie Signs, have you both seen Signs?
Yeah.
What is the scariest moment in that film for you?
I think it's just when we start seeing the creatures kind of move around for the first time is the scariest
moment. The first time that happens is at the birthday party. And I think it was it in Brazil, where suddenly a humanoid shaped creature walks out between the bushes.
Right.
And everyone I've spoken to that remembers that movie all says the same thing. The way that it walked from the bushes across and looks at the camera is the thing that scares everybody. But here's the thing about it. It didn't walk weird. It just walked like a human. For some reason, it resembling a human and being an alien is the thing that immediately triggered a response in everyone's head to be very frightened by that. Well, I've not met anyone that has been like, yeah, that scene was whatever. They're always just like, oh, yeah, I don't like that. I don't know why. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all just – everything stems back to human insecurity. If you look at every action that is negative in a certain way, whether it be – violence against a religion or violence against people. It all stems from insecurity. Like humans are just insecure. It's just some are terrible humans who act out on it. The rest of us just bitch about it and just try to better ourselves by meditation and yoga. I don't know. Maybe we're afraid of AI that it essentially will take. I mean, look at So you look at 2001, A Space Odyssey, that was way ahead of its time. And this guy had to kill this massive machine, but people didn't find it creepy because it was just a voice of a man. It didn't look like a man. It was just a weird, massive computer that mm-hmm. ended up getting evil in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, having known Grant, I followed a lot of weird, like, roboticist pages just Grant. Through the conversations that we had. And any time that, like, they gave it skin and gave it some sort of human component, my initial reaction would be, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is really fascinating. Ooh. Every single time. And I think that that's kind of what is so interesting is maybe not everybody feels that or deals with that. But I know that anytime they try to make something look human, but it's still not 100% convincing. And I would like to know, I play a lot of Fallout 4. I am all here for, like, the sense than the droids. I'm on their side. But, like, when I see it in real life, I can't do it.
Yeah, I think it may be something about our own mortality that we're seeing when we see, you know, ourselves kind of upgraded in a way, but I also think it might be, like, evolution, like our reaction to it might be evolution. Like, that's how we determined, you know, like, think about it. We were primates at one time and we evolved into something new and we had to start recognizing, you know, other tribes that were like us and other. I mean, I think maybe that's also it, you know, when you evolved from a primate and now you're this skin, you know, this hairless thing, maybe that's the way we identified. I was going to say skinless, but I meant hairless. Like, maybe that's how we identified our fellow species, like our fellow evolutionary change. I don't know. Well, speculate.
How do you guys feel when you see somebody carrying a real doll?
First of all, who carries a real doll?
My neighbor.
Oh, are you talking about the little one or are you talking about those big sex dolls? Because when I was working at Hustler, we had those big real dolls that people have sex with.
Doll.
Yeah. And I felt horrified by this, like, life, it, like, cause it's just like it's kind of like a corpse. It's just like a lifeless, yeah. Like, it's not responding. I don't know. It's just like it's like a gelatin person. I can't get down with that. I'm sorry.
I have a neighbor that walks around and she walks with it in a baby Bjorn. And for a while I thought it was her baby, but I thought her baby was dead because its legs hang and, like, kind of just, like, dangle there uncomfortably in a very inhuman way. And I thought, okay, well, maybe the baby's just really tired. And I watched for a long time. She just, you know, walks throughout the neighborhood. And I watched for a long time. And she has this baby doll. And I have a feeling, you know, something traumatic must have happened to her. I think she probably lost a baby.
Right.
You know, or had a miscarriage of some sort. But she walks around with this thing. And while I do feel bad when I see the baby's legs hanging out of the baby Bjorn, I get this intense feeling of, like, disgust. I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable. And I feel really bad because that's obviously a coping mechanism for her. But when I see it, it's too much.
How old is this woman?
I mean, she's got to be our age.
Oh, that is disturbing.
Oh, my God. I just found one of their sites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so and they have heartbeats. And they're doing sounds.
This is haunted. This is very creepy stuff. You're welcome, Paranormal Show. Here we are.
I mean, I think with the baby, I think the baby is weirdly more understandable to me.
I don't disagree. I understand this woman probably went through some trauma.
Yeah.
And that's why I've never, like, every time it happens, I'm like, okay, I'm just not gonna think about it.
And I'm so proud of her for getting a real doll instead of doing what I see on Investigation Discovery all the time instead. Thank you. Thank you for
Is it called a real doll? Is that what it's called?
It's actually the one I found is a real doll is the sex doll.
Right.
So I found my reborn baby doll.
Oh, reborn. That's the other reborns.
But there's also these dolls that are like tiny people mm-hmm. that I've seen, and a lot of times I see grown men with them. and they like dress him up and they bring him places, which is weird and, you know, whatever, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But when you think about it, if you know the history of the Barbie doll was in Germany, it was invented before it came to America, and it was a gentleman's doll. It was a doll
really
for gentlemen.
I actually did not know that.
Gentlemen. Bring home to them for themselves.
Das is not gut.
Das is whatever you want. Yeah?
Well, we are running over, so yeah. Let's
wrap it up. Let's see what everyone else
thinks about the uncanny creepy valley, because it's deeper than I thought it was when we first started, so definitely learned something here. But we are at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. Of course, use the code HAUNTS10 with Tavor. Get yourself that $10 discount. Ashley Trobe, where can people find you?
You can find me at all social media at Ashley Trobe, all across the board, or at Ashley Pons on Facebook, according to whatever weird digital glitch that is happening here. Otherwise, I'm going to be doing the Con Guy / Scare Guy Happy Hour podcast this upcoming week with that hashtag show. And we're going to talk a little bit about some other paranormal things. So if you guys want to check it out, please do.
There you go. Anastasia Dubs.
Hello, you can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube. And I have my one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, coming virtually to your face for 48 hours, starting November 13th, which you can find in all of the links in my bio. And stand-up shows are coming all the time, so check them out.
I will be buying my ticket. Once again, we are at Haunts and Hops. I am at Jay Quasto on all social media platforms. I'm getting there regarding news to my comedy special. I just can't say anything yet, but it is coming, which is very exciting. I just don't know all the pertinent announcements yet, but we're getting there. So just follow me at Jay Quasto, and I'd appreciate the help. With that said, tell people about the show. We want as many people as possible to enjoy the show every week, just like we do. So if you have a couple of friends who like the paranormal, who like oddities, who like weird stuff, holler at them. Let us know.
Before we sign off, can we put our number in for if you want to call and give us a cool story?
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about the number. Yes. The number is 818-660-6191. If you have a paranormal experience or story, call us. 818-660-6191. Thank you, Anastasia.
No problem. Thank you.
And it's a... It's my birthday, so if you guys don't call, I'm just going to pretend that you guys all hate us. So yeah. You have to do it. It's my birthday.
It's her birthday,
guys. Do it. Call in. Now it's time to say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends, and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.